It's nearly 1:30 p.m. and Lindsay Grubbs is thankful for two things, her friends and the cocktail in front of her. As law school students, the group of women use brunch to catch up and unwind from the stresses of the week. But their theoretical lessons took on a more practical tone when they tried to order drinks.
Well, we came and made our reservation at 11:30 thinking that was the time that you can order alcohol. And then she told us that the bar didn't open till later. So we ordered food and then said, come back over whenever the bar opens.
We're at 10th and Piedmont, where fried chicken and waffles, bottomless mimosas, and upbeat music swirl together into the perfect stereotype for a Sunday brunch. But there's more than meets the eye, both for the restaurant and the luxurious midday meal.
Historically, the first mention of brunch literally was in England.
That's Farah Turniker, an associate professor of sociology at Le Moyne College in New York. She wrote the book on brunch in 2014 and says the meal started as this midday celebration by the English elite after a morning of hunting. Brunch back then represented this sort of fancy special status, hearty foods, and a break from the norm. Today,
I think it still symbolizes decadence, indulgence, anything goes at brunch, right? It's like the one meal where you can have cake and, you know, alcohol and bacon.
In the U.S., New Orleans and New York kicked off the brunch scene as a conspicuous sign of taste in every sense of the word. Fast forward to the 1920s, and brunch appears in etiquette guides and advice columns. A 1939 article in the New York Times declares Sunday a two-meal day. Turniker says until the late 80s, brunch was still a primarily white and well-to-do meal, and pop culture reflected that. Take this scene from The Simpsons, where the fancy bowling instructor Jacques Cousteau tries to take the married Marge Simpson out on a date to brunch.
What's brunch?
You'd love it. It's not quite breakfast. It's not quite lunch, but it comes with a slice of cantaloupe at the end. You don't get completely what you would at breakfast, but you get a good meal.
I don't think so.
Back at 10th and Piedmont, there may not be cantaloupe, but you will find an eclectic mix of people that decidedly don't fit the definition of a historic brunching crowd. Sybil Penix, an African-American woman, is one of them. She's celebrating her birthday with her sisters and says she loves brunch for its relaxing atmosphere and accessibility to anyone.
Across the board, as you see sitting next to us is an 80-year-old couple. It's everybody can enjoy brunch. It's all different genres, different people, different walks of life, different colors, different ages. Everybody can brunch. It's like the time of the day that gives you life.
That's music to the ears of Gilbert Uramian, owner of Tens in Piedmont. He says popularity of brunch has transcended Sunday afternoons and crept over into other days of the week.
Yeah, people love our brunch, and we sometimes do specials on evenings of Monday or Tuesday, and brunch is always part of the menu in some way.
Brunch has evolved from a meal of the hunting elite to an integral part of many people's weekend routine. But the TV show Seinfeld still asks a great question about the name.
So what's the deal with brunch? I mean, if it's a combination of breakfast and lunch, how come there's no leper? Or no liner.
For GPB News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.